Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for bringing us out, Lord. And I pray you, you'd be one of our number this morning. Pray you too for our brothers and sisters that are getting up and at them and out for church, Lord, for a blessing upon each and every one. Lord, I pray for our country. Pray for preachers and teachers of your word. I pray, Lord, for the leaders, for those that walk the corridors of power, not just here, but right the way across the world. I pray that you would oppose those that are set on devilment and wickedness, Lord, that you would bless and promote those that are fixed upon your word. I know that leaves precious few. But Lord, we really do need you in these last days, and I pray that you would be one of our number this morning. Please, Lord, I pray especially for Ed and Joan Bissett, for Pastor Asquith, for Pastor Hain, Lord, for Pastor Seely. I pray you, Lord, for Stan and the Foxes. I pray you, Lord, for the Randalls and the Smiths, for the Isaacsons, for the many that could be doing better, Lord. I pray for them. Lord, please just bless our time in your word and in the lifting up of your praises and the bringing forth of petitions. And I pray especially for Norm and myself as we prepare to do work on the church, that you would just touch our bodies. And for everybody else, Lord, that has to go and do work elsewhere, that you would touch their bodies too. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We will start with... put the wrong one there. Amen. Hymn number 159. 31. 31 in the wee black book. 31 in the wee black book. King of love, my shepherd is. I just want to read the number at the top, but that's the number I type into the music machine. To hop from one book to the other and go to 97 in the big books. Number 97. If we, how many pages are in this one? Is it 80 hymns this one will hold? We'll have to get that organized so that we know what numbers mean what. But number 97 in the big books, I need thee every hour.
Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud. Thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, and lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall be he called. For the Lord has called thee as a woman forsake and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the water of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, for my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempests, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. For I will make the windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for my sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that I formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen.
And take those are courtesy of Brother Steve, or those courtesy of Brother Norman.
Brother Steve.
Yes. A lot of very good verses in Isaiah. Just want to remind everybody, this is not wishful thinking in any stretch of the imagination. The orange coloured prayer list is our up-to-date one. Did you get one, Link? Did you get one, Norm? It's not because we wished the election to turn out different. It just so happened it was in the cycle. But it is quite amusing how many times these colour-coordinated things appear in the appropriate order. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. Send their regards and wish they could be here. Unfortunately, they're not. But please do pray for them. I ask that you pray for Will and Colin and Charlotte this morning. I don't know what's up or where they are or what they're doing, but I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not in church this morning, so please do pray for them. And pray also for all those that have been gone and each other. We certainly do need each other. Don't forget Frank as well, as he, I just want to say he travels, but he's already done his travelling. He's over in London. Pray for him as he works and studies and does exams over in London. Right, I have everybody that is here today has their names down for private prayer requests. I take it you still have private prayer requests. And what about you, Norman?
Yeah. Yes.
That's you folks and me, and we'll check with everybody else as and when. Please pray for William Hamilton. That is Will's cousin. He was on the phone with us last night, and he is said to pass on his regards as well. I think that's about that. Is there anything we need to add to this for this morning? If there is, let me know. If not, all well and good. But there's plenty going on. you're ever stuck for something to pray about, and if you are, just think of the church. Norman and I are bound to be up to something that's going to, that requires a little bit of extra prayer, so we would appreciate that. I think that's about that. We'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. And dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for again for our being able to be here this morning. We know, Lord, the days are certainly turning towards darkness, and we're glad to have the church, we're glad to have the land, we're glad to have the work done, we're glad to have the folks here. But I know, Lord, things are on the turn and things are not getting better. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would set a hedge around about us and protect us. Not just this morning, but as the days and weeks and months and years go on, until you come back for us. Pray, Lord, for those that we know that's not yet saved. Pray especially for Clive and Paddy and Claire, for that fellow that Norman knows, whose name just escapes me right now, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and John, for Michael and his family, for Henry and Evelyn, and Lord, for the rest of the folks that are on the road. For all those that have received gospel tracts, for all those that have heard the gospel, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them this Lord's Day. Thank you for loving us. Know, Lord, our desire for our leaders to be on the up and up instead of on the slippery slope down. Would you please oppose them at every turn when they're set in devilment, and would you bless them when they set themselves in the right path. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the work that's been done. And Father, I pray for the work that's still to be done. Bless us as we work and labour, whether here or in jobs. And Father, please be with those that couldn't be here. Pray for Alan Leslie, for Pearl Hetherington, and for those many, Lord, that have health issues. Please, Lord, minister to them too, especially Pat and Steve. We ask all this, Lord, especially for prayer requests, Lord, private prayer requests, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And according to your will. Amen. 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 I think we're going to sing next, number 20 in the wee books. Mrs. Bradfield will have to turn herself around and operate the keyboard. Number 20 is When I See the Blood. Number 20, not in the wee books, in the big books. When I say the big books. One of the books, anyway. There's only two. If it doesn't say When I See the Blood at the top of number 20, you know you're in the wrong place. And we're not going to need the machine. Number 20, When I See the Blood.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him,
Number 20 in the little books, you only touch the hem of his garment if you're able to stand as we sing. And number just after having sung number 20 of the big book. Yeah. Sort of missed that. I will, when I see the blood for a while there, whenever we weren't playing those, because I really do like that song. That's just referring back to the old Passover, back in ancient biblical times, and then the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, making sure that judgment passes over us too. Let's stand as we sing number 20.
She only touched the hem of his garment as to his side she stole. Amid the crowd that gathered around him and straightway she
Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to read it all. There's only 24 verses in it. And I hope this will be a help to you. We're speaking on the subject of rolling up your sleeves, of doormats. It's a number of different titles that you could apply to this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians. Approximately halfway through the New Testament. I hope it'll be a help to you. There's a number of different titles that you could apply to this. But rolling up your sleeves is the one that first came to mind. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with thy service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, love and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come before you, to serve you, to worship you, to praise you, to give of our tithes and offerings, to fellowship together. Lord, just to show the world that we will continue to be your children, to love you and to cherish you, Lord, and to obey you most of all. Please use this time to work in our hearts and minds, to shape us, mold us, strengthen us, to rub off rough edges, Lord. But I pray most of all for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Please be with absent brethren right the way across the world. Please enable them, Lord, I pray, to get back to where they need to be, to where you know we all should be, Lord. We leave these things at your feet, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your salvation, for just being there with an open ear for us, Lord, for your intercessions for us even now, and for the comfort and the knowledge, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Thank you again, Lord, and we love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. He has done an awful lot for us, and if we thanked him every minute of every day for the rest of our lives, it still wouldn't be enough for what he's done. Rolling up our sleeves, in this case, is going to take us from verses 11 right the way through until verses 18, where it talks about putting all on the whole armour of God. To begin with, as I'm sure each one of us is aware, that life is full of ups and downs, And it's just like anything that has people involved in it. If there's people in it, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be hiccups from time to time, whether they're accidental or whether they're purposeful. And the sad thing about it is, on the one respect, that the Christian life is more so, has more ups and downs, simply because when you choose Christ as your Saviour, you end up going in a different direction to the rest of the world. You are quite literally setting your face against the world, against your feelings, and most especially against the devil and all the things that he was getting away with before in your life, before you got saved, before you had your eyes open, and all of a sudden you're aware of them, and it can be a bit daunting. It's going to set you at odds with many things, even family and friends. If you get saved and a friend sticks with you, you have a rare friend. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord, and this is the Lord speaking to his disciples, he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." He didn't come to send peace on earth. He came to bring peace between God and man. "I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Says he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." This is one of those things. It's basically the Bible is saying that whenever you start following God, the words that you speak, the deeds that you do, the fact that you turn up with church, the fact that you know a little bit about the Bible, and maybe you're just not shy about sharing it, those things are going to speak to people's consciences, and they are going to convict them. They're going to make them feel bad because you're doing the right thing and they are doing the wrong thing. And many times that is not going to endear you. It's not going to endear you to family. And these are supposed to be the closest bonds that a person can have as family. It's not going to endear you to friends. It's not going to endear you to colleagues or neighbours or other ministers even. Whether they minister in a pulpit or they are ministers to the country in government. Souls don't appreciate being told and shown that they're wrong. And often, they will oppose you. I saw a piece of opposition in one of the strangest places in a street in Belfast, where it specifically spoke of not handing out gospel tracts because they didn't like the litter that was left. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is not the people that hand out the gospel tracts that leave the litter. Every single little piece of gospel literature that is handed out by a person is put in somebody else's hand. It is them that makes it litter. It is them that throws it away in a little fit of pique or spite. People are going to oppose you verbally, physically. Whenever you do this, it's tricky. Even when you're prepared for it, it can hurt. And it can leave people hurt and betrayed in the wake of it. It can cause deep wounds. And they'll never show up in an accident emergency ward. But these things can cripple a person spiritually and mentally. And just because you're saved doesn't make you immune to these, we'll call them injuries, but these hurts, these feelings. However, as a Christian, you have a refuge and you have a place and a person to go to that the world doesn't. The world that uses the Lord's name in vain, the world that drinks and smokes, the world that lives in sin and commits fornication and all sorts of immorality, the world that never darkens a church door, what refuge do they have? Who do they go to at 3 o'clock in the morning when they awaken from their sleep and all the thoughts are rolling through their heads about the hurts and the anguishes and the difficulties that they have? Who do they go to? Who do you go to? Well, the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 10, we can come boldly into the presence of God. And that's it. It doesn't say between 9 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. It doesn't say between opening hours. Have you ever tried to ring your internet provider or your cell phone provider and the only time you can ring them is maybe after 8 o'clock because you're busy? And of course you get the message, I'm sorry, if you ring between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., an assistant will be there to help you. That's not God. God is, in the words of the song, God is always near me. He knows all my thoughts and prayers, all my words and deeds. And that's the wrong words, but I think you'll know the tune. Do we have that one? Knowing all my something and something, all my something and something else. Everybody knows that tune. You know, the tune is just it's just the title. As a Christian, you have that. The God that loves you and saved you never changes. And these promises that were put down in the Word of God 2,000 years ago are still good. And we'll call it the techniques, the method by which you live your Christian life and prepare to meet each day, they've never changed either. No matter what's happening in the world, the God that sticks closer than a brother will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. He will take a lot of that hurt away and he will promote the healing process. But on top of that, he doesn't expect us to soak up every little bit of abuse that the world hurls our way. He didn't call us to be doormats. Whenever you join an army, you don't join an army and they say, here is a t-shirt, a white t-shirt with a big red dot in the middle of the chest. That is not, whenever God calls us to be his soldiers, he doesn't call us to be walking, talking targets. He calls us to be soldiers and he provides for us. Now, I know we skip over a lot of these things that God provides for us very quickly from time to time, and again from time to time we pick one out and we think on it for a little bit. But just a reminder, whenever you tell God about everything, and I mean everything, he will give you the peace that passeth all understanding. That'll keep your heart and mind because you're saved. He will give you overcoming power when you do things his way. Isaiah 40 and 31, I believe that is. He also says in James that if you're finding things tricky or things aren't adding up in your head, ask God to explain it to you. He will give you wisdom. The Bible says, he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to say, you're too smart. I don't want you that smart as a Christian. He's going to say, I'll make you smart as Solomon. God also promised that when you get saved, that you would get the Holy Spirit to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he will help you with the understanding and the remembrance, the recounting of the scriptures. He gives you the assurance of salvation, and we mention that very often. I don't think enough people understand just what that means. That means nothing can take you out of God's hands. He's promised us a home in heaven in John 14. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He also said, I will send angels to help you out. Does it not say that the angels are ministering spirits sent to those that would be heirs of salvation? And the one that we spend an extra few calories every Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday evening is the book. The book that God divinely and supernaturally protects and provides and said would always be here in this world. Those things are there. But he also gives us a little thing called the gospel armor. Now, if you were watching one of today's Hollywood movies, you would have a scene of someone standing like this and praying, God, give me your armor. And lightning would fly down from heaven, and you would be clad in a glowing set of armor, much like Iron Man. It would just suddenly appear on you, and nothing would be able to hurt you. That's what Hollywood would have you believe. But this gospel armor that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 is an armor that appears a bite at a time. If it was chain mail, it would be a chain link at a time. If it was scale mail, it would be scale at a time. If it was Iron Man's nanotechnology armor, it would be one little bit of nanotech at a time. And the reason God gives us this is because we need it. We have an adversary. We have a real live, walking, talking, thinking, scheming, wheeling, dealing, lying, cheating, murdering devil that walks about you and me, seeking whom he may devour. He checks us out, he watches us, he sees where we're weak, and that is always where he pokes us. And this is not just to make us bulletproof. This is not so that we can walk out into the middle of the road and survive getting hit by a bus. This is to protect us against, what does the Bible say there in verse number 12? This is to protect us against people, flesh and blood. This is to protect us against principalities, wicked laws, against powers. These things, the temptations that will come your way, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you know what? The stupid laws and things that they bring in and the things that they try to get people to believe. Have you seen the things that the rulers of this world are trying to get people to believe right now? That abortion is good? That homosexuality is desirable? That transgenderism is a lot more common than what people give it credit for. Have you seen those things? Do you know how many people have died and gone into eternity because of that? And not just the thousands that have gone into eternity since Monica was keeping. What sort of rate on average are little children dying every day? Is it thousands, isn't it? Thousands of people die simply because wicked people in this world promote abortion. And even more wicked people think that good people are bad because they want to protect unborn children. And that in itself shows us that we live in the days not very far away from Norman's reading in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 6. We live in the days right now where good people are called evil because they stand up and say we shouldn't be killing our children. And where evil people are viewed as good because they say we should have the right to our own bodies. I'm not getting into an abortion debate or service right now, but whenever a woman has a baby or carries a baby, it is a completely different DNA. It is not her body. She is the vessel for another body. And that baby should have rights, but because we want to kill our children and put them into a furnace and have some form of prosperity or freedom, we kill our children. It's not right. And the Word of God is there to help us with these things. And it's there to help us with the spiritual wickedness in high places. I know over the years, over the centuries, as long as there have been men ruling other men, there has been spiritual wickedness in high places. We have seen even in this day, in a full accordance with the scriptures, that these wicked men that have gotten worse and worse don't even try to hide their wickedness anymore and are literally out there. And they don't try to hide that they hate Christianity. All the things that made this country and other countries great, they hate it. Because it lays down rails for the proper way in which people to live. The Word of God is to help us in this regard. So that regardless of what everybody else is doing and regardless of what the world says, we still have a set of rules to live our lives by. Now, we're going to look at a few things. It's only going to take, well, I don't know how long it's going to take. How long does it ever take whenever we're in? It's 5 to 12. It could take another 15 or 20 minutes. But if I asked a soldier who is used to carrying, and so, I've seen some of the latest body armor. There are shoulder pads. There's chest plate and back plate. There is a little bit, I think, that goes down over their BTMs. And there's knee guards. Their boots are guarded. There's shin guards. If you asked a bomb disposal expert, which piece of your body armor would you like to put on when you go to defuse your next bomb? They would look at you as if to say, what do you mean next piece? I'm putting it all on. If I am going to defuse a bomb, I want every single bit of protection that I can get. And we need it too. When you go to work with this life or work and deal in situations, sometimes it can be like defusing a bomb and people can fly to pieces so fast the shrapnel goes everywhere. But the first thing that this portion of God's word speaks against, it says in 13, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, whenever hardships come your way, you can still stand. You might have a bump or two and a bruise or two, but God will take the pain away. Don't worry about that. And whenever it passes, you can still stand and say, look, it hasn't changed any. God wants you to stand in the good times and in the difficult times because his word always stands and it never changes. The first thing he says, have your loins girt about with the truth. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever engaged in physical combat, close combat. One of the surest fire ways to put someone on the ground so that they never bother you is to hit them in the groin or the loins. For a man, that'll put him down and keep him in agony long enough to finish him off, if that's the whole idea. But if a man ever gets hit in the groin or the loins, and it's normally men that's fighting in these wars, he has about 5 seconds before he can't do anything ever again. And the Bible says this is one of our weakest points, and it needs protection, and that protection is the truth. You need to be known as being truthful all the time. Because if you're not truthful, it doesn't matter if you have the greatest revelation that God has ever given to man that would change the lives of everyone that hears it. If they hear it from you and know that you're a liar, it won't make a blind bit of difference. We always, no matter where we go, we need to walk in the truth. We need to be truthful. It goes on to say that we need the breastplate of righteousness. I know our hearts, our feelings, if you like, they can be very up and down. They can be on top of the world one minute and the deepest, darkest valleys of death and despair the next. We need God's righteousness. We need his rules. We need his standards to keep our hearts under control and keeping us right, to keep our desires in check, to keep our feelings, our hearts even safe. We need God's righteousness. We need to hold to him. Upon our feet, it says we need the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need the means whereby we, as we go, we're not known as conquerors. We're not known as subjugators or tyrants, but we come peaceably as friends. Meekly, the word of God says, lest by trying some way to point people to the foot of the cross so that their sins will be forgiven, we need to be peaceable. We need people to accept or to know that we're not there to beat the tar out of them, that we're there as a friend. Because otherwise they will oppose every word that you say and every deed that you do. We need to be peaceful. That doesn't mean a walkover, but it does mean we're not going out to conquer people and to make kingdoms for ourselves here in this world. The next piece of armor that we are given is the shield of faith. And basically what this amounts to is trusting in God. Even if you can't see why right now you should trust in God, that you trust in God. Knowing and understanding that what God says will keep you safe. It goes on to say, will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't know if you've ever looked over the years at some of the ancient soldiers. And some of the gladiators had a shield that wasn't much bigger than their hand, because they weren't interested in being safe much. It was just a token. They wanted to see as much blood as possible in the arena. And some of the Roman soldiers had these huge shields that would be about the size of this pulpit. And they would be able to put them all together to keep all the arrows that many of the other soldiers would fire at them off of them, protect them from. The shield of faith is you trusting what God says over what the rest of the world says. And that protects you from so much trouble. When God says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, God is telling you to steer clear of alcohol. When God says that a strange woman is a deep ditch, God is warning you to stay out of strangers' beds. When God says to you that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and him that defileth it God will destroy, God is warning you to be careful about what you put in your body. Well, whatever goes in through your eyes and whatever goes in through your mouth and your ears, be careful about it. Because otherwise it will lead to your end. Drugs, food, all that sort of stuff. Be careful what goes into your body. When God says we should be out of church, we need to be out of church. There's ones that's not in church today and I never even heard from them. And they need to be in church. They're the very ones that need to be here. Because they need lifting up and they need helping and they need support and they need this message. We need to obey what God says. In the face of what the world says, in the face of how we feel, and in the face of what the devil tempts us to do, we need to do what God says. Even if, as we do it, we can't understand the reason why we do it. That's why it's called the shield of faith. The next piece of armor that the Word of God mentions here is the helmet of salvation. That is using the knowledge, keeping our knowledge safe. Especially remembering that we are saved, but knowing that you're saved and on your way to heaven, to protect and order your thoughts. Keep your thoughts fixed upon God. There's a reason why the Lord said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To know the scriptures, to protect your head, to protect your mind. The Word of God then next mentions the only piece of offensive armament. And that's the sword of the Spirit. In other words, we need to know what the Bible says, how to use it properly to protect ourselves, to cut away the filth and the mire that people have wrapped around their hearts so that God can speak to them. It's a strange thing that the Word of God has a weight and a power all its own. And if you give that to people, it will work in their hearts and minds. And there are so many scripture verses about the power of God. It says, we mentioned one from Isaiah 40 and 31 that used to be in the men's toilets. It's not there anymore. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. The Word of God says in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And when people entice you out to do foolish things and you use the scriptures against them, there is no argument. Let's go out drinking and then we'll go and find a wee girl or a wee boy and we'll spend the night. And you're thinking, how many of God's laws and commandments are you breaking right there and then? Hey, if I go out on a Saturday night and drink, I'm going against what God says, and go chasing a wee girl or a wee boy, I'm going against what God says. I'm not fit to get up in the morning to go to church, I'm going against what God says. I'm not preparing myself to meet all the things the world's going to throw at me, and I'm not obeying what the Word of God says. We need to know what the Bible says. And there is no easy way to do it. We can load it onto our phone in a minute. It takes a lifetime to load it into our hearts and minds and to apply it to our lives. But we need it. And the Bible also says we need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And all of those things are things that we can acquire when we put our minds to it. There's one last thing the Word of God tells us to do. We need to pray, and pray constantly and always. I don't know about you, but there's days I could cheerfully wring people's necks. And the only thing that keeps me from it is knowing I have a great God and he levels me out of it. Each piece of this gospel armour is a part of your life as a Christian. It will help you. It will help you in your walk. It will help you in your contending with people. It will help you in your dealing with people. It will help you to treat people right, even when they don't treat you properly. And most Christians don't have it. And they leave themselves open to so much trouble from the world, so many lies, so much weak and watery preaching. And that's why there are so many churches with so many lost people and weak Christians, compromised Christians. And even though the world says, in general, that's the way it's going, it doesn't have to be the way you're going. Statistically, the Bible notes the trend is always downwards. But it doesn't have to be the way you go. You can change. You have complete power over the way your life goes. And where do we get the rolling of the sleeves up from? Well, like everything good and everything worthwhile, it requires a bit of work and it requires a bit of effort. About a year and a bit ago, when was it that you went down to Dublin? Would that be about a year and a half ago, was it? Just before December?
Well, you know.
21?
Yes.
No, 2020?
2020, the first office in December. Yeah.
Ling took pity on me whenever we were coming up again. And she said to her husband, make some tea for us, because I was having a lot of trouble with this arm, with my shoulder. And Dr. Shang very kindly, feels like he beat the living daylights out of that arm, squeezed muscles and give me acupuncture. And he said, in 3 weeks, 90% will be okay. That last 10% you will have to work at. And for the next 6 months, and I still do them whenever I'm not working here, I worked hard at getting that 10%, and it was such a help to me to have to go to get needles stuck in me, to allow Dr. Shang to like squish my muscles. And then every morning whenever I got up, I went out for a walk, a brisk walk to warm my body up, and then I come in and do all my exercises, my arm lifts and circles and twists and this, that and the other. It was work, let me tell you. But I am glad I did it, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to help Norman do all of this work. Notice I said, help Norman. I helped Norman to do all of this work. It's worth it. And I know, pastor, whenever he stands behind the pulpit, I remember coming to the church, and the pastor would quote all of these verses of scriptures, and I thought, how could anyone ever learn that much of the Bible? That was 23 years ago, and I have learned a fair bit of the Bible. Most of it's combat knowledge of the Bible. Verses that I know that I need to pull me out of a hole, that I know that other people can use to do the same work in their lives. The needful verses. And so it means rolling up your sleeves. Whenever we come in here on a Monday morning, it's a bit of a struggle. And rolling up the sleeves can be a hard job. Normally starts with a cup of black tea and some sugar and milk. But it's worth it when we get to the end of it. And you will see, I'm going to make a prediction based on what, based on the gospel according to Norman. At the end of this week, you will notice big changes. And at the end of the following week, we're hoping to be done on the inside. Then you will be able to see the benefits of the work. Anything good requires work and labor. And there are benefits to be had at the end of it. And it's the same with the Christian life. You're not going to get a better life than that of a Christian, of a child of God, of the King of Kings. It's tricky and it's difficult. But God gives you every single thing that you and I need. He gives us them. He lays them down in front of us. If it was ordinary armor, we would still have to strap it on. And we would still have to learn to bear it. And we would still have to learn how to swing a sword or shoot the gun. It's not that, but it is. It's different armor. It's different armaments. And we still need to roll our sleeves up and put just a little bit of effort into getting the best out of it. And you will when you do. And it will enable you, as the Bible says, it'll give you protection. It'll help you grow and thrive as a child of the King. Even in this world, when you roll your sleeves up. Amen. Stopping there, it wasn't too bad. That was only about 15 minutes. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. Now, I haven't picked a closing hymn. If anybody has one, I am happy to entertain it. Just shout out the number or the title if you know what it is, and we will sing it. I'm not going to say that I have one in case nobody else has one. I'm waiting for a contribution from the congregation. If you have one, shout it out.
355.
That means the big book.
Yeah.
355 is what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Norman, you'll get your go this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us, for this wee bit of time set aside from the world. Please take it and use it in our lives. Let us always be found to be your friend, Lord, and to be busy about your work. Bless Ling and Norman and Monica and myself as we part company, as we finish this part of the service. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring souls out tonight. Love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.